Acts chapter number 3. We have been moving our way through the book of Acts. We've been in here 3 Wednesday nights now. And we've got to the 3rd chapter. This will be our 4th Wednesday night. And I want to give you what the Lord has laid upon my heart for tonight. And I just have a couple thoughts on my heart I want to show you out of chapter number 3. In the previous chapter, chapter 2, we read about last Wednesday night the very first sermon that was preached in the New Testament church. Now, in chapter number 3, we read about the very first miracle that takes place or is performed in the New Testament church. I really think that this is an exciting portion of Scripture. The imagery, if nothing else, of chapter number 3 is amazing. In this chapter, we read about a man and meet a man who has a condition that has wrecked his life. For years, he has lived in his miserable condition, but one day he meets 2 men, and these 2 men introduce him to someone that changes his life forever. Before we get into this chapter, though, I feel like I need to discuss with you a couple different things very quickly. I feel like I need to remind you as we move through the book of Acts, especially when we get into chapter 3, I think I need to remind you that we are now embarking upon what I'm going to call a transition portion that the church is going through. In the next several chapters, we will see the disciples do things. We will see these men do things as they transition from their old Jewish lifestyle to the new lifestyle that God has called them to live in. You've got to understand something about men like Peter and John. These men were Jews. They grew up Jews. They were trained Jews. And it was hard for them just to lay down their Jewish lifestyle and their Jewish religion and break free from that. That'll be difficult for them to do. And we'll see them struggle with that for actually several years as you move through the book of Acts. They will struggle with this old lifestyle and this new lifestyle. You also have to understand that not only were these men going through a period of transition, but religion was going through a period of transition. For 2,000 years, God had dealt with mankind on this basis. It was a basis of law. God said do, and men did, or they died. And God had dealt with mankind under the dispensation of the law for 2,000 years. Now the dispensation of law, as of Acts chapter number 2, the dispensation of the law was done. Even Jesus Christ lived under the dispensation of the law. You understand that, don't you? Jesus said, I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. You see, He came to fulfill the law. He lived under the Old Testament. Jesus did. But now the law is over with and grace has begun. The dispensation of law is over with and the dispensation of grace is moving in. And to move from one form or one mode of religion to another mode of religion is not going to be an easy transition. When you add to this the fact that the New Testament scriptures had not been written yet, that made things even harder. And this period of transition will take years. Therefore, God is going to do some things to help them during this period of transition. And I feel like you've got to understand this to understand what we're about to read. You have to understand that God over the next years are going to reveal things to men like Paul. In his epistles, Paul will write things like this. Behold, I show you a mystery. You know what Paul was doing? He was revealing to them something that they did not know up until that point in time. God had not revealed that. So for years, God's going to reveal things to this new church, this New Testament church. And also, this church is going to grow from infancy to an adult stage. I said all of that to say this. During this infancy period, God is going to allow things to transpire and take place to help in this transition, to help them grow up, and to help prove that what they were preaching and teaching was the truth from God. And God's going to do that
mainly through the gift or the blessing of miracles. In chapter number 3, we'll see a miracle performed by Peter and John upon a paralyzed man. God is going to allow them to perform this miracle, give them this gift, so that they can help them and help the nation see that God is in this message that they are preaching. God is with these men that are going around preaching the gospel. And God is going to allow them to do some of these things. Here's where we get into a little bit of a problem. Some people do not realize that God allowed these things for a period of time for a purpose. But when this time of transition was over with, these things slowly begin to fade off the scene. In fact, when you get to the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that the church has grown up some and has matured some. And now we've got a church that's trying to hang on to some of the old things that God allowed them to do to get started with, and they can't let go of those things. And so Paul writes to them and says, hey, Corinthians, it's time to grow up a little bit. In fact, he'll say it this way. He'll say, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away some childish things. You say, well, Paul's talking about his Legos and his Tonka trucks. No, he's not talking about Legos and baseball cards. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He said, charity never faileth. He said, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what he's saying? He's saying, church, it's time to break away from the bottle that you've been sucking on. God's growing you up. God's growing you up. It's time to grow up. Something that won't happen at Northside Baptist Church as long as I'm the pastor is we won't have any healing campaigns while I'm the pastor here. I'm not going to take my jacket off and sling it around my head and hit you with it and expect you to fall over on the floor.
Thank you, Lord.
You know why? Because I believe the church has evolved from that.
Amen.
Amen. And if any of you all decide Sunday that you like the service so much, you think you'll speak in a tongue or two, I'm probably going to set you down. You know why? The church has grown up since then.
Amen.
When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And you hold something in your very lap tonight that is 100% perfect. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
God's going to speak to us through this Bible. Amen. I feel like one of the biggest problems that people make when it comes to Bible study and doctrinal issues is the lack of consideration for matters like this. Now, I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist, but I believe that God made certain promises to certain people for certain periods of time, and that was it. For example, I'm not a Jew. I can't claim for myself the promises God made to the nation of Israel. They're not my promises. They're the Jewish promises.
Amen.
Amen. In the same manner, I can't expect God to always work in the church like He did during this period of transition. Paul told the Corinthians to grow up. I think there's some churches today that need to do the same. They need to grow up. But having said all that, I want to show you two things out of chapter 3. Let's consider this wonderful portion of Scripture and see what the Lord has for us tonight. I want you to see two things. I want you to see this, number one. I want you to see Peter's offering of healing to the lame. Peter's offering of healing to the lame. Look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now we don't have to get far into chapter 3 before we see an illustration of what I was just talking to you about. These men are still going about their Jewish upbringing and carrying on with their Jewish traditions. When the chapter begins, Peter and John are headed down to the temple for the hour of prayer. It will take some time for these men to grow up from this, to learn from this. In fact, it'll take several years for them to understand God's new program and God's new purpose. things like the salvation of the Gentiles, the breaking away of Old Testament traditions, even changes in their dietary habits. We'll see Peter fight that in chapter 10. This will take time for these men to grow from. And these men are not doing this in verse 1 in an act of rebellion, but in an act of ignorance. They're still headed down to the temple for the hour of prayer. And as they move down to the temple, I want you to notice something. I want you to see the pictures contrast that we find in these next few verses. I want you to see the pictures contrast. Look at verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Now, as they approach the temple, they meet a man who is lame on his feet. I'm not sure what caused this man's paralysis, but Dr. Luke tells us in a few verses that he obviously had a condition with his feet and his ankle bones. There was something wrong with his feet and his ankles. But what Luke is doing now is he is painting us a beautiful picture by the way of contrast. The imagery here is amazing. Notice what Luke tells us about this man. Luke says that this lame man, this crippled man, this handicapped man, this marred man is sitting at the beautiful gate. There were 9 gates that led from the court of the Gentiles into the temple area. And it is obvious that this man was begging alms at the eastern gate. The eastern gate, Brother David, they say, was made of Corinthian bronze. And they say that that Corinthian bronze would shine in the sunlight and it would look like a gate made of pure gold. It was beautiful to look at. It was spectacular to see. It was a marvel of the eyes. And therefore, it gathered the nickname, the Beautiful Gate. And this man now is sitting at this gate made of Corinthian bronze, this marvel to look at, this beautiful sight to behold, and he is sitting there in his miserable condition. Can you see what Luke wants you to see? Luke tells us that a marred man is sitting at a beautiful gate. A beggar is sitting at a gate that looks like it was made of gold. Hey, he is telling us that a broken man is sitting next to a beautiful creation. In this contrast, I see that while mankind can make things beautiful, while we can clean up the outside, we can build great buildings, we can make beautiful gates, but man cannot fix the ugliness that is on the inside. Amen. You see, only God has a remedy for your soul. Amen. Hey, you can try to get yourself cleaned up as best you can. You can get a haircut. You can put on some freshly laundered clothes. You can take a little ivory to yourself, but that will never clean up the ugliness that lies inside of you, the ugliness of sin. Hey, this was a marred man. They can make that beautiful gate, but they couldn't fix the beggar sitting at the beautiful gate. Amen. I see the picture's contrast here. The contrast, man can improve the outward appearance, but he cannot fix the inside man. Notice this, letter B. Not only do I see the picture's contrast, but letter B, I see the powerful Christ. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Amen. Now it is no coincidence that of all the people headed to the temple for the hour of prayer, that this man meets Peter and John. This undoubtedly is the providence of God. Now, I'm going to guess that most Jews headed to the temple for the hour of prayer tried their best to avoid this man. You got to understand, The Jewish law said something about taking care of the poor and needy. And therefore, if they recognized this man, Brother Tom, they were going to have to give him something according to the law. They had to help him out. They had to take care of him. So they would pretend like they didn't notice. And you know how you do. When the guy stands there on the side of the interstate and he's got his sign and the light turns red, and you all of a sudden have to change the radio station. Amen? Don't act like y'all ain't never done that. Like holy rollers, y'all have done the same thing. And you got to pick something up. You don't want them to notice that you notice them. Amen? Isn't that right? That's what's happening here. You see, this man is sitting there, and as he's sitting there, everybody just keeps rushing past him. They're busy. They got to get to the temple for prayer. They've got places to be. They've got stuff to do. And then all of a sudden, two men start heading in his direction, and one of them makes eye contact with him. Now, y'all help me out here. Your experience, think like my experience. That guy that's wanting a handout catches you making eye contact with him. He's coming over to where you're at.
Amen.
Hey, I just need 50 cents. If I had 50 cents, I could buy that bus ticket and I could get on down the road. You know how it is. You make eye contact, it's done. He's coming to get something. And this guy now sees Peter and John coming, and Peter makes eye contact with him. And when he does, this guy says, "Hey, cha-ching, payday, this guy's going to help me out. He's going to give me something." But what this man didn't realize, Brother David, is that the two men that he made eye contact were Baptist preachers. You know how I know they were Baptist preachers? Because they didn't have any money to give them. They were Baptist preachers. Peter said, "Silver and gold." He said, "I ain't got nothing. I'm telling you, buddy, I'm a Baptist minister. I pastored out of the church. I ain't got nothing." Amen?
Amen?
See, he thought he was about to get something, but in reality, he met up with Peter and John, who couldn't give him anything monetarily. And truthfully, Peter was telling the truth. You see, this communal lifestyle that they had entered into at the back end of chapter number 2, you remember that, where they sold all their goods and they gave it to the church? Peter didn't have anything. He'd gave all he had. He didn't give the 10%, that standard, you know, that you got to give the 10% so the preacher don't get upset with you. He gave everything. He said, "I ain't got anything left. I'm broke, buddy. I've gave it all away." But Peter says this. He said, "While I do not have any money to give you, I do have something to offer you." Peter tells this poor, this lame man, that there's enough power in the name of Jesus Christ that if he believes and he has faith, that he can get up and he can walk and he can be healed from the disease that has marred him his entire life. You know, a name carries authority. A name carries reputation. A name carries power. There are names that mean something. You know, my name, Joshua Sharp, it doesn't mean a lot. You know, I couldn't take a trip to Virginia tonight, get up, go to the White House tomorrow, walk in there and look at one of them Secret Service guys and say, "Hey, I got some stuff I want to see happen around here. And I want it to happen now." And they said, "Well, who do you think you are?" "I am Joshua Sharp." You know what? It wouldn't mean anything to me. Nothing would happen in my name. But if word came down to one of those guys that something needed to happen, and the President of the United States said for that to happen, they'd snap to it. You see what I'm saying? Now Peter gets up to this gentleman and he says, "Listen, I can't help you. Peter can't help you. John can't help you. But we know one who can help you. His name is Jesus Christ. And there's enough power in the name of Jesus Christ to help you in this condition that you're in." Peter did not have the authority. He did not have the power. He was nothing but a man himself. But Peter had power in the name of Christ, and he helped this man with his condition. Watch this. I want you to notice how Luke pictures this in these verses. Luke tells us about a man who was born lame
Is that not a perfect example of a sinner? You and I are sinners. We were made sinners by the fall of our father Adam in the Garden of Eden. We are lame in and of ourselves. We are paralyzed. We cannot help ourselves. We cannot pick ourselves up. We cannot do anything to make our situation any better. We are all lame as sinners. Notice this. This man not only was lame, but the Bible says he was poor. You and I as sinners are bankrupt in the eyes of God. Boy, the songwriter got it right when they said there was an old account in heaven with sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went into the keeper and I said long ago, hey, I'm telling you, I can't settle this sin debt on my own. I owe a debt that I cannot pay. And it was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all. Notice this, not only was he lame and not only was he poor, but Brother David, he was outside the temple. The Bible says he was sitting at the beautiful gate outside the temple. As sinners, you and I are outside the temple. We are outside of the will of God. No matter how near we are to the door, we are never in fellowship with God until we meet Jesus Christ. Notice this about this man, this lame man, this poor man, this man that was outside the temple. This man was healed by the grace of God. The only cure for his condition was found in God's good grace. He couldn't help himself. Peter couldn't help him. But God had enough grace to help him. Watch this. Notice this about the man. When he was healed immediately. The very moment that Peter said, get up and walk, he got up and walked. Hey, the very moment that a sinner cries out to God, calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are instantaneously saved in that moment. God immediately saves you. And then watch this. This man gave evidence of what happened in his life. If you get healed through salvation, this might hurt somebody's feelings. If you get healed by salvation, I hope you don't get mad with me right here. If you get healed by salvation, you're not going to continue to sit in the mess that you was in before you got healed.
Amen.
Isn't that right? When he got healed, he got up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Watch this. I see the picture's contrast. I see the power in Christ. I see this, letter C. I see the proofs change. Look at verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Hey, when Peter offered this man healing, the offer was accepted. This man, now let me say this, this man could have very easily turned down the offer of Peter. He did not have to be healed. Peter wasn't forcing healing on him. Hey, but Tom, he could have said, when Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, but I believe I know one that can heal you if you want to be healed. He could have very easily, Brother Tom, said, you know what, buddy? If you don't got some money for me, just go on about your business. I need to find somebody that's got some money they can give me. And if he said that, he'd continue to sit there at the gate, a poor beggar. But when Peter said, there's power in Jesus Christ, he can get you out of this mess you're in. And Peter stuck out his hand. You know what that man did? By faith, he stuck out his hand and he stood up. He believed the message the preacher delivered. He believed there was power in Jesus Christ. He exercised faith that day and his faith made him whole.
Amen.
Amen. He believed there was power in the name of Christ to fix his condition. The heart of faith, he reached out. And the Bible says that he leapt up, began walking, and started praising God. I want you to notice two things. Notice again about this picture. This man leapt out of the place that he was in. I really don't believe that any of those Jews around the temple at that time could have convinced this man, could have talked this man into continuing to sit
on that poor bed that he was in when Peter found him. When that change took place in his life, when that paralysis was gone, he leapt up from where he was at and he went about his business. Hey, I'm telling you, good neighbor, I said it a minute ago, I'll say it again. When you meet Jesus Christ, there's a change that's going to take place. You are going to get out of the mess that you are in. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, Psalms 40. And he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. And but David said, you know what he did? He lifted me up also out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he put my feet on a solid rock. David said, I wasn't staying in the horrible pit. I wasn't staying in the miry clay. I was done with all that. I was moving on. I was on the solid rock. I had new direction for my life. I had new purpose for my life. I was a changed man.
Amen.
Now you can disagree with me if you want to, but I've got a problem with all these people that talk about how they get saved and they go home the same man they came to church that morning.
Amen.
I've got a problem with that. I believe that if you get saved by the good grace of God, you're going to get out of the mess you're in.
Amen.
How ridiculous would it have been for Peter to come by the beautiful gate the next day and that man be sitting there.
Yeah.
Peter would have said, now buddy, I thought yesterday I healed you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you still sitting there?
Amen.
Now, Peter didn't have to worry about that. You know why? You aren't going to catch that man down there begging at the beautiful gate anymore. Something happened in his life.
Amen.
Something happened in his soul.
That's right.
You couldn't force him back down at that gate.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Hey, not only did he leap up, but the Bible says he started walking. That's what it says. And leaping up, verse 8, and walked. You know what he did? Not only did he leap up, did he get out of that mess he was in, but twice we are told that this man began to walk. Can I say that when a person has an encounter with Christ, their feet are going to start taking them some places.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? I believe that if you get saved, your feet are going to take you to church.
Amen.
Amen. But watch this. Not only did he leap up, not only did he start walking, but the Bible says he started praising God, verse number 8.
Amen.
I know, now listen right here. I know that we're not all the same. And I know we're not all going to worship the same. I get that. I don't expect us to. I really don't. I'd be foolish to think that. But while we're not all the same, I also believe, I really believe, that if a person gets saved, they're going to have a thankful heart.
Amen.
Amen. While we're not all the same and the way we praise God, if we're all saved, we are the same in that we're going to praise God. You may cry. You may laugh. You may shout. You may raise your hand. I don't know. But I tell you what. If God has been good to you like God has been good to me, God saved you from your sins like He saved me from my sins, every once in a while you're not going to be able to help it.
Amen.
You're going to have to praise God and let somebody know what's happened in your life.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
This man gave evidence of the fact that something had changed, radically changed in his life. I told you I had two thoughts for tonight. I really feel like stopping right there. I don't know why, but let me say this. I believe that when God gets a hold of you, I believe you give evidence to it, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I believe we ought to be different people, different men and women. I think we need to put some old things away, take off those old garments. Boy, I tell you what, I was listening to a preacher at lunch today, and he was preaching a message on the prodigal son coming home. He's talking about how they put that robe on him and put that ring on his hand, put those shoes on his feet. You know, I don't know. But I've just got to believe when that boy got up from the hog pen that day, and he decided he was going home, that it was better back at Dad's house He had no intentions of going back to the hog pen. Amen. He had made up his mind. I'm going to Dad's house. You know what he'd made up his mind on, Tom? He said, when I get there, I'm going to be a servant. He said, my dad has servants. He said, there's bread enough to pay, spare for his servant. He said, I just want to be a hired servant. You know what I think it's time that some of us do? I think it's time that some of us make up our mind. I'm not going back to the hog pen.
Amen.
I'm not who I used to be. I'm not that man. I'm not that woman. I'm a different person. God saved me. And I'm going to give evidence to salvation.
I see Peter's offer of healing to the lame. Next Wednesday night, I'll show you Peter's offer of hope to the lost. But we'll see that on next Wednesday.